Father in heaven, we are aware that even now, in the middle of a worship service, prior to the preaching of God's word, we perhaps are struggling to be attentive, struggling to care. Perhaps the waves of apathy and indifference, maybe even open hostility to the word, are crashing down upon us. And it seems almost impossible to benefit this morning from the preaching of the word. We are in need then, Father, in a very desperate way, of your Spirit, to take the word of truth and to drive it deeply into our hearts, to make us attentive, not only to master the word before us, but more importantly, to be mastered by it. To understand, at least to some extent, Father, the nature of your patience with us, so that we in turn may respond to the word of Jesus Christ, the gospel of salvation, by reflecting your patience in our dealings with one another. And so, Father, we pray, may we truly, by the preaching of the word, produce the fruit of the Spirit for the glory of your name and for the joy of your people. So send your Spirit upon us, we pray, to do this remarkable work in our lives. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Galatians 5, beginning at verse 16, reading through the end of the chapter. Paul writes, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." Here ends the reading from Galatians chapter 5. Let's turn now a few pages further on to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the final paragraphs of Paul's sermon in letter form to the church at Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians 5, beginning at verse 12, reading through the end of the chapter and the end of the epistle. "We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Brothers, pray for us. Greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. I put you under oath before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Here ends the reading of God's word. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord endures forever. Dear friends, brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, you remember, perhaps some of you do, that old proverb concerning patience. Patience is a virtue. Possess it if you can. Seldom in a woman and never in a man. Obviously an overstatement. But I think it captures very well the rarity of that fruit of the Spirit in the life of the Christian. We obviously gravitate towards love and joy and peace being the fruit of the Spirit, but what about patience? And what I want to impress upon you this morning with regard to this fruit of the Spirit is that patience, contrary to popular conception, patience is not something primarily passive. To be patient, in a biblical sense, is not to be passive, not to be indifferent, not to simply stand along the side of the road and wring your hands and say, well, there's nothing I can do. No, patience in the Bible is a very active, one might say even a very aggressive sort of thing. It takes great work. It takes the Holy Spirit working within us to exercise that kind of patience. What is the definition of patience? The older versions of Scripture, the rendering in English, I think captures it well. It's the word long-suffering. That's a wonderful word. Because I think patience has the idea in it of passivity. Whereas long-suffering has the idea of someone who's being tenacious. Someone who's persevering. Someone who's enduring. Someone who's waiting. Someone who's going to finish the course, regardless of how difficult the circumstances may be. Long-suffering. Refusing to retaliate. Refusing to lash out. And when we think of patience this morning, think of that in terms of that contrast to lashing out. How do people lash out? How do you lash out in that contrary to this patience? I mean, obviously, the most immediate example, of course, is lashing out physically. Someone irritates you, you punch them. Children do that. The bully punches someone. Someone irritates you, you push them. You hurt them physically, but verbally as well. When we become impatient, we speak ill of others. What about emotionally? Are you emotionally impatient? Do you brood? Are things stirring up inside, this anger, hatred even, because of your impatience with someone? And I think of all the scenarios, we're going to talk about that in just a moment, all the scenarios in which your patience is tried daily. And yet the Apostle Paul says the fruit of the Spirit is patience. Long-suffering, in contrast to simply taking matters in your own hands. What's the opposite of patience? It's anger, isn't it? It's anger. And anger leads to so many problems in the Christian life. It can lead to violence, verbally abusing someone. It can lead to depression. Many people, you might be surprised to hear this, many people who suffer from depression, at the root of that depression you will find anger. Anger that is kept inside, anger that is turned inward. And so there's brooding. And when we brood long enough, we become deeply, deeply depressed. So we do well, I think, this morning to listen carefully to the Word of God. The Apostle Paul, here giving instructions, final instructions to the church in Thessalonica, says in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14, "And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted." How interesting. Both ends of the spectrum. For those who are twiddling their thumbs, saying, "Well, the Lord's going to come anyway soon. Shouldn't we just hang around until He comes again?" Paul says, "Get busy. Get busy." And for those who are faint-hearted, who always seem to be overwhelmed by every circumstance in life, Paul says, "Encourage them. Build them up. Help the weak. Be patient with them all." Those of you who are elders and deacons this morning, you would do well to take that to heart. All of us who are in leadership positions, parents, teachers, take this to heart. Be patient. Because patience is not merely a virtue. It is a reflection of the very character of God. That's the first thing I want you to notice with me this morning. Patience is a divine attribute. After all, we said before, the fruit of the Spirit really is the constituent parts of God's holiness. God's holiness is love and joy and peace, but also patience. God is a very patient God. Now, does that mean that God is merely passive? God simply stands by? No, He is long-suffering. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness. Why does He do that? It is His nature not to lash out, not to act impulsively, but to be patient. Paul writes in Romans chapter 2, you remember these words, "We know that the judgment of God rightly falls on those who commit sin, who do so," he says. "Do you suppose, O man, you who judge those who do such things and yet do them yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you presume on the riches of His kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing the kindness of God is meant to lead you to repentance?" God is a patient God because He longs for your repentance. Think of Jesus' patience for just a moment. Think of His patience during His temptations. Could Jesus truly be tempted? I think there are many of us, perhaps, who don't take that seriously enough. They say, "Well, He was Jesus. He was the Son of God. He couldn't really be tempted." I tell you, He could. In His human nature, He could truly be tempted. To use His divine powers to turn stone to bread, He foregoes it, even though He had been fasting for 40 days. Imagine that. He's patient. His other temptations as well. Think of His patience for a moment in terms of dealing with the crowds and with His disciples. Slow to understand. Sometimes openly hostile towards Him. Think of how easily He could have called down fire from heaven. In fact, at one point, walking through Samaria along the border with Judea, the people rejected the message of Jesus. And the disciples said to Jesus, "Should we call down fire from heaven?" Where did that come from? It wasn't like they were saying, "Well, wouldn't that be a neat trick, Jesus, if you called down fire from heaven?" This happened during the prophecy of Elijah. And Jesus says, "Don't you understand the age in which you live?" Meaning, there were times in the past where God called down fire and consumed those who did not believe Him or His messengers. But the gospel is going out now. This is the age of grace. He preaches about the kingdom. He talks about His impending death. The crowds are offended. Jesus could have said, "Very well, very well. You don't like it? You can all go to hell." And He could have said that with every bit of justification. Go to hell. But He suffers. He puts himself at risk. Think about that. He puts himself at risk. He absorbs the abuse, the humiliation. How many of us would be willing to do that? We'd rather walk away, or we'd rather retaliate. We take it up with our fists. Jesus doesn't do that. The disciples seem obtuse at times. Have you been with me this long and you still don't understand? Listen, for example, to what Jesus says in Mark 9, verse 19. Just note this in your notes if you're taking notes. Mark 9, verse 19. Jesus says, "O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you?" Jesus is almost at the point, you see, saying, "Why am I doing this?" But he doesn't give up. He persists. He perseveres. Think of how often his parables emphasize the idea of patience. The parable of the weeds, the tares that are sown into the wheat. They're the impulse for the servants of the farmer is to go out into the field and just uproot everything. He says, "No, wait, wait. Wait until the harvest comes and then the wheat will be separated from the tares." He talks about the kingdom's slow and gradual development, like a little mustard seed or like leaven. Be patient. Wait. It will come to its fruition. It will come to its full maturity. Think of Jesus' patience in his suffering and his death. He fulfills the words of the prophet Isaiah. He was beaten upon. He was spat upon. Placed a crown of thorns upon his head. What does he do? He does not retaliate. He is like a sheep before its shearers. He's silent. They mock him on the cross. And he could have called 10,000 angels, the song says. My pastor was very fond of ridiculing that song, not because of the intention of the writer, but of saying, for Jesus, that was not even a consideration. Yes, he could have called 10,000 angels, but he suffered. He suffered. He saved others. He cannot save himself. Think of how tempting it might have been for Jesus to come off the cross and say, "Yes, I can save myself." But because of a divine compulsion, he says, "No, I must stay upon that cross." God is long-suffering. And it is his desire that that long-suffering be reflected in your life and in mine. If patience is a divine attribute, first of all, secondly, how do we root out the weeds? What are the challenges to patience? Well, think of this in terms of these categories. First of all, there is great impatience with God's timetable. We become frustrated with God's providence. And behind that is the notion that God should act according to my timetable. That if God was really God, he would act differently. He would make life, my circumstances, more agreeable. I can tell you as a pastor, I can tell you as someone who's counseled people, that's a very common scenario, whether people are willing to admit it or not. Behind so much suffering is the attitude, well, if God was really God, if he was kind, if he was loving, if he was a gracious God, he wouldn't put me through this. He wouldn't make me suffer like this. Those are not easy things to work through. Sometimes they are terribly, terribly painful. But patience says, "No, I recognize that through all of this, God is at work. God is at work." Think of what Jesus says to his disciples in John 15 about God as the vine dresser. That he prunes the vines that he wants to see bear fruit. And it all sounds wonderful. It's a beautiful imagery from agriculture. But who among us would say it's a pleasant thing to go through the Lord's pruning? Where the Lord takes that knife and cuts and removes the dead wood in order for us to bear fruit. How many of us enjoy the experience? The answer is none of us do. Let's be honest. None of us do. But patience says, no, God is at work. And what God's purpose is to produce fruit. To draw me closer to Himself. Impatience says, I want to be my own God. I want to be my own God. And I want God to work on my timetable. And God has to work in this way or that way. Otherwise, He cannot be God and I will not submit to Him. Patience says, even if I don't understand these things fully. And oftentimes we don't understand these things fully. Jesus tells His disciples that in John 15, now you do not fully understand these things, but the time will come when these things will be made clearer to you. By faith we proceed. Impatience with God's timetable. The hymn writer and pastor John Newton said, everything is necessary that God sends. Nothing is necessary that He does not send. Have you thought about that? Everything that God sends into your life by way of His providence is necessary for you. Nothing happens by accident. Nothing happens apart from His tender, fatherly love for you. Nothing is necessary that He does not send. You may want Him to send this or that. You may want Him to rearrange the affairs of your lives. But the Lord says, trust me. I do know what I'm doing. Be patient with God's timetable. We can be impatient under trial. Under trial. Hardship. Difficulties. Impatience manifests itself in anger. The most common form of anger is self-pity. What lies at the heart of a lot of depression? I said anger. But also self-pity. Woe is me. How terrible my circumstances. It's not right. It's not fair. It's not just. And so that leads to depression. It leads to brooding. You recall what James, a very wise pastor, said at the very opening of his letter, of his sermon. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet various kinds of trials. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. That's patience. And let patience have its full effect. Why? Just to make your life miserable? Some of you may think that. Some of you I know do think that. That God just wants to make your life miserable. Every day is drudgery for you. But James says, let steadfastness, let patience have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Is it not true that oftentimes in our suffering, we see the hand of God most clearly? Impatience under trial. But then there's also impatience with the weaknesses of others. And I think that's what the Apostle Paul is talking about here too in 1 Thessalonians. If you go back to that passage that we read from just a moment ago, he says, encourage the weak and the faint-hearted. Prod the idle to work. But then he says also concerning the congregation, be patient with them all. Some of you are tested severely on this front every day, where people simply annoy you to no end. Maybe it's at work. Maybe there's somebody at work who just annoys you to no end and drives you crazy because of their poor work. Because of their attitude, bad attitude, perhaps because of the things they say. Perhaps because they're just so terribly offensive, you find them repugnant. That's a severe test of your patience. Maybe your patience is tried at home with an unruly child, a rebellious teenager, a wandering young adult, someone who's wandered from the faith. Maybe it's with a spouse, a husband or a wife. You become impatient because they just don't seem to get it. They don't seem to show the kind of affection you want them to, or the spiritual maturity that you long for them to see and to experience. For the Thessalonians, certainly for the leadership there, there could be impatience with the immaturity of the congregation, slowness to understand, failures, disappointments, or on a very practical basis, interruptions to our lives, to our daily course of events. Criticism, harsh words that are spoken, and you become very angry, even depressed, and you want to retaliate. The apostle says, no, be patient. Patience here is not passive. Be long-suffering. Stoicism, that ancient pagan philosophy, said, well, we deal with hardship by being passive, keeping a stiff upper lip. Is that what the Bible's calling us to do? No. No. This is more than simply let it just bounce off your back like water off a duck's back. It's not indifference. It's not being lethargic. Patience can become angry at times. Understand that. Active anger, sinful anger, can turn to revenge. Passive anger can become indifference, self-pity, and brooding. Those are the weeds you have to root out. But now finally, how do we cultivate the fruit of patience? Let's turn for just a moment to James again, the last chapter in James. Listen carefully to what James, the pastor, says by way of instruction for us. James 5, verse 7. Please have your Bibles open. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth. Be patient about it, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also, be patient. The farmer has to wait. The farmer knows the rains are coming. In Palestine, it was the early rains, the late rains. The whole crop depended upon that. And he could very easily sit and fret every day wondering, how in the world will my crop grow? How will the harvest come? It's terrible. It's a disaster. Be patient. Be patient. The water will come. Verse 10. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. Why the prophets? The prophets preach and teach. They minister among God's people. What was the response oftentimes of the prophets? Troublemaker. You get all this negative news for us. We don't want to hear this. We want to hear prophets who preach good news to us, who reinforce the positive, who tell us that things are peaceful and good, things are going to go well for us. And here come these prophets preaching doom and gloom. The Lord blesses these prophets because they were patient. They were persistent. They finished the course. They didn't give up, even when people openly rejected them, even when they were put to death. They did not lose hope. In verse 11, you have heard of the steadfastness or the patience of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. How did Job become such a steadfast person, such a patient person? Do you think it was easy for Job? Do you think Job just stood idly by and let the course of events happen and shrug his shoulder and say, que sera, sera, what will be is what will be. If you think that, you haven't read the book of Job, have you? He puts on sackcloth. He pours ashes upon his head. He weeps. He mourns. He asks the Lord fervently, why? Why does this happen? He even becomes belligerent at times. It's a struggle for him. And he pours his heart out to God. Why? I want answers for this. As we often do. Lord, tell me, why does it have to be this way? Why must I suffer this way? Why must life be so painful for me? And the Lord doesn't say to Job at that point, well, here, let me explain it to you in full detail. The Lord often does not do that. He gives us enough so that we may persevere. And in Job's case, he asked Job the question, Job, where were you when I made the earth, the heavens and the earth? Where were you when I was doing all of that? As if to say to Job, Job, who do you think you are to even question me? And furthermore, Job, do you doubt my good purposes in all of this? Have you lost your perspective? The patience of Job. Remember, first of all, brothers and sisters, if you struggle with patience, if you say, this just can't happen for me, I'm impatient with God's timetable, things have not turned out like I want them to, why am I suffering? Why am I struggling? Why aren't things the way I want them to be? Maybe you're struggling with impatience towards others. People annoy you to no end. They irritate you. They get under your skin. And you find it miserable going to work every day. You find it miserable dealing at home with a child or a spouse or someone in your family who just irritates you to no end. Maybe you're impatient with yourself. You don't see the kind of maturity that you want to see. You don't see the kind of fruit you want to see. Let me encourage you, first of all, to remember the patience of God towards you. I remind you of what Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1, verse 16. He's talking about himself here, the Apostle Paul. But I receive mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. Paul describes himself the chief of sinners. Do you think Paul, before his conversion, was an easy person to deal with? How he must have irritated people, certainly the Christians. But God showed patience towards him. And the Apostle Paul is simply overwhelmed by that fact. That God showed patience for the sake of the gospel. And if God, who is perfect, who is completely holy, showed patience towards me, the worst of sinners, surely I can be patient with others. Can I not? Think also of the majesty of God. And be delighted that he even notices you. Let me encourage you, if you struggle with patience, the calling of the Lord is to wait. To wait upon him. Waiting is the spirit-wrought ability to wait for the satisfaction of desire, the reward of our work. You see, when we're children, we want immediate gratification, instant gratification. We live in a culture that rewards instant gratification. The Lord says, be patient. The reward will come in time. Secondly, persevere. Persevere to the end. You know the story of Thomas Edison, the inventor of the light bulb. They say it took him over a thousand trials, a thousand attempts before he finally discovered the filament that would produce the working light bulb. That's perseverance. That's perseverance. Time and time and time and time again. pressing through in the strength that God gives us. And finally, enduring. Do not break down. Do not give in. Think of the words of the writer to the Hebrews concerning Jesus. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Yes, patience is indeed a virtue. And the word virtue has its origin in Latin. And that word means in Latin, strength. Patience is not passive. Patience is not indifferent. Patience does not simply wring one's hands and say, well, there's nothing I can do about it anyway. No, patience is a strength. It is the Spirit-wrought strength that enables us to persevere to the very end. Because we have experienced in our own life the patience of God, who though we were sinful, showed kindness to us. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we recognize immediately when we hear a word like this, our own failures, our shortcomings, that our lives are not marked by long suffering. Our lives are far too often marked by impatience and irritability. We lash out, we retaliate with our fists or with our tongues or even with our hearts. And this does not please you. It is not the evidence of the Spirit at work in our lives. We pray then, Father, for your Spirit to produce in us the kind of long-suffering, the kind of endurance, the kind of perseverance that reflects your great love and patience for us, poor, sinful creatures that we are. Father, we pray that we may bear patiently with your timetable, that we may be patient in dealing with the weaknesses and shortcomings of others, that we may learn to forgive even as we have been forgiven, and that we would also learn to be patient with ourselves, trusting upon your promises, looking to Jesus Christ, and being assured that all things work together for good for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Hear us and bless this word to our hearts, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.